Well, I'm starting a series today entitled Starting Over, because new beginnings and fresh starts are common to life, because it seems that failure and frustrations and flawed efforts are much more common than success. Haven't you found that to be true in your own life? Irma Bombeck became well known because of her humorous way of handling life's hurts. She wrote a weekly newspaper column that was syndicated in over 900 newspapers. She published 15 books, was recognized as one of the 25 most influential women in America, was featured on the cover of Time magazine, and was awarded 15 honorary degrees. Yet her life was filled with a series of starting overs. This is what Irma Bombeck said about herself at one point. She said, "I speak at college commencements and I tell everyone I'm up there and they're down there, not because of my successes, but because of my failures. Then I proceed to spin them off," she said. "A comedy record album that sold 2 copies in Beirut. A sitcom that lasted about as long as a donut in our house. A Broadway play that never saw Broadway. Book signings where I attracted 2 people. One person looking for the restroom, the other one wanting to buy the desk I was sitting at." She said, "What you have to tell yourself is, I'm not a failure. I have failed at doing something. There's a big difference. Personally and career-wise, it's been a difficult road." She started her career writing obituaries. But she says, "I have buried babies, lost parents, had cancer, worried over kids. The trick is to put it all into perspective, and that's what I do for a living," she says. That attitude kept her going and writing through disappointments, pain, surgeries, and daily kidney dialysis until she died at the age of 69. Starting over, if you have not discovered it yet, is a way of life. We have many opportunities to start over. Starting over must be a part of what shapes us to become whatever God wants us to be. But it's one thing to have fresh starts that are the result of circumstances that happen to all of us. The scripture tells us that it rains on the just and the unjust. There are events that happen to us that we could not have avoided because we couldn't have foreseen. And we have to learn to begin again after many difficulties of life that simply come to us in spite of ourselves. But what about the need to start over as a result of something we have done to ourselves? Not as a result of circumstances, but as a result of our own crippling, sinful choices. Can we start over when we have done it to ourselves? The title of this message this morning is Starting Over After Moral Failure. Can there be a new beginning when I've produced that kind of crisis in my life or the lives of those around me? This was the experience of the shepherd king David in the Old Testament. And this is what one writer says concerning David's experience. David lived a life of passion. He struggled against the unrelenting temptation to live by his own remarkable talents and abilities, because he was uniquely gifted. He too, in a moment of weakness, let down his guard and fell prey to his own lustful desires. In lust, he took another man's wife. Her name was Bathsheba. Theirs was a shameful, murderous affair in that David arranged for Bathsheba's husband Uriah to be killed in battle. The consequences of David's own choices were immense. David's son, born to Bathsheba, died shortly after birth. In addition, his own home fell apart. The famous shepherd king endured years of heartache and embarrassment at the hands of his rebellious children. He bore such long and agonizing consequences because of one night's foolish passion. But David's life did not end there. No person ultimately should be judged because of one moment in life. It's the course of life which defines us, not just one moment. And David was still described as a man after God's own heart. How could he be so described after the choice that he made, which was so crippling to his life? One word describes the fresh start for David. It's the word repentance. Because of David's repentance, you see, it's not what we do to ourselves or what happens to us. It's what we do in response to those things which define us from that moment forward. You need to know that it's never too late to start doing what's right. Let me say that again. It's never too late to start doing the right thing. You cannot sink so deep in sin that Christ is unable to lift you from despair. Imagine that. Even if you're a thief on the cross, dying for what you are guilty of doing, Jesus can change you forever if you'll respond to Him in that moment. It's never too late. Repentance is a place to start. Don't go another day without falling on your knees before God and praying just like David prayed. As you see in your text, Psalms 51, turn with me to the text of the message today. Psalm 51, we'll begin with reading verse 1 through verse 15. Let's stand together as we honor the reading of the Lord's Word this morning. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speakest and blameless when thou dost judge. Every sin is ultimately and directly against God. Because I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me to know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from thy presence, and do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted to thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of thy righteousness, O God, O Lord. Open my lips that my mouth may declare thy praise. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Knowing the experience of David and the choice that he made that was crippling to his life, and that moment when the prophet said, thou art the man. And David felt the conviction of God. And in response, he was broken before God. And he spoke, cried, or penned these words. It's hard for me not to imagine that at the moment that David thought these words and spoke them out and later wrote them down, that he could not have said these things without a cry in his voice and a tear in his eye. This was not a statement. This was a plea. He was crying out for repentance, for forgiveness, because he knew the depths of his own sin. He was saying, God, I did it, God. It's me. No one else to blame. I'm the fault. And God, you're the only one I can come to. Please forgive me of what I've done. We need to see, first of all, that failure is inevitable because of my condition. Verse 5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. A moral failure is not the cause, but the consequence of my condition. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. In James chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, scriptures as you will not see on your screen this morning, this is what the writer says, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Don't be deceived. The cause and the source of your sin is your sin. No one can stand before God and say, God, you made me do it. No one can stand before God and say, the devil made me do it. We can only stand before God and say, God, I did it. I did it, God. You see, the crippling choices that we make that bring disaster in our lives and collateral damage to others, and there are waves of that going on in multiple lives and in every life in some fashion. Innocent or hurt. Witnesses of the testimony is crippled. Churches are damaged. The cause of Christ is shamed. And it's a result of our condition. It happens much the same way as an Eskimo hunts and kills a wolf. He uses the wolf's own appetite for blood to bring his own demise. No doubt you've probably heard this illustration. First, the Eskimo takes his knife and sharpens the blade to a razor's edge. And then he takes this knife with animal blood